Good afternoon. This is Loretta Bertelot at the Tulsa Historical Society and Museum. And my guest this afternoon is Melissa McCorkle. And I met Melissa several years ago when we paired up for an Amoco tennis tournament. Melissa, let's start by you telling us some of your roots in Tulsa.
Okay. Well, I was born and raised in Tulsa. I went to Lanier Elementary School, and then I moved to Wilson Junior High School at the time, and then I went to Will Rogers High School, which is where I graduated in 1979.
Did you appreciate all that Art Deco in Will Rogers?
I did, and I'm very proud of the school now. It's a beautiful school. It was at that time, and I'm so happy they've maintained it and kept it up so nice.
Do you have any special school experiences you remember?
All three schools were just super memorable. My family, my parents went to the schools as well. My mom didn't go to Lanier, but my parents both graduated from Will Rogers High School, as did my brother and my sister. I just remember schools at that time were a place that was our home, that the teachers were loving on us and taught us good things, good morals, and good education as well. Can't think of a specific memory, except I loved PE, so I love sports, and anything that had to do with that kind of thing was up my alley.
Okay. Were there any special school events that happened at Will Rogers, annual type things that you remember?
Yeah, we got, by the time I was there, they'd kind of stopped the roundup, which we were disappointed on, but we did the Will Rogers Week, which we had the history of Will Rogers and all that he was famous for. We had all kinds of competitions during that week, the Lariat competition, and we'd have, we'd bring in lots of guests to just kind of tell us what he was about, the comedy shows, and just lots of fun things that we did all during that week.
Okay. Anything growing up in Tulsa that you'd like to relate?
Well, I think all along that we have a lot of history in Tulsa. Our schools did take us to Philbrook and Gilcrease, and we always appreciated all the things that Tulsa had to offer. As you know, we have great fine arts here, and the schools were good about teaching us those kind of things. Lots of good sporting events, where Tulsa was always very supportive of Tulsa University and the football team and the basketball team. So nothing stands out to me except for just lots of good memories of just being in Tulsa and lots to do to keep us entertained.
Where was your commencement?
Our commencement was at the Civic Center. No? Was it? I get mixed up between my kids and myself. I believe it was at the Maybe Center. I think might have been one of the first at the class to graduate from the Maybe Center. I could have that wrong, though.
Well, I was
sorry. I'm sorry, I don't remember that.
I was wondering when they quit using Skelly Stadium.
Yeah, it wasn't Skelly Stadium for sure. It was one of the indoor places, and I definitely want to say it was at the Maybe Center when it was very new. But I could be wrong. It could be at the Civic Center.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that.
Melissa, you're well known around Tulsa as a tennis instructor, and what is your title at La Fortune Park?
Well, my title is I'm the Director of Operations for the Tulsa County Parks, Director of Tennis Operations for the Tulsa County Parks. But I mostly operate La Fortune Park Tennis Center, which is there at La Fortune Park.
Okay. So did you have a little college background that help prepare you for this at all?
You know, I did not. I played a lot of sports, as I said, and I loved tennis, although we didn't have a lot of resources, finances to get me really involved in tennis. So I played basketball, I played softball, ran track, those kind of things, but I just kind of kept tennis on going. I learned how to play in a public park, just a small program. I got to take some private lessons as a high school student. My mom would give me as many local things as we could as far as tournaments and that kind of thing. I did not play high-level tennis as a junior, but I absolutely loved it. I loved everything about it. I loved the clothes. I loved that you stayed clean while you played tennis, and I just liked the movement. Everything about it was great for me.
Okay, so college, you went to Oklahoma Baptist?
I went to Oklahoma Baptist University. They did not even have a women's tennis team at the time. Knew I wanted to go there just from experiences I've had, and I was majored in elementary education and became a teacher, so thought I wanted to be a PE teacher, decided on just being working in the classroom, so enjoyed my time there at OBU.
Okay, so let's start your tennis career. How did that all begin?
Well, as I said, as I graduated from college, I got my first job and taught in public schools for 18 years. My son was an avid player. We started him, I only have one child, Peter, and he started playing tennis as a youngster. And so I better back up just a little bit and just kind of tell, just let me tell
okay.
a little bit about when I got out of college. I started playing just for fun. As Loretta said, we played in the Amoco tennis tournament, so I worked at Amoco in the summer times and just played some fun little things. I met my husband David at an event well several years before that, and it wasn't just as a friendship thing. Some friends introduced us, but then he also worked at Amoco, so he was playing in a tournament one weekend and at LaFortune Park Tennis Center on court number 7, and I had just taken a run around LaFortune Park, and as I came up around, I saw him playing that tournament, so I stopped to watch him a little bit, and we began to talk, and right there on court 7 is where we began our time together as a couple. So several years later we married, and just we played what we USTA league tennis. We played some at LaFortune and some all around town, and as I said, I was teaching school but still kind of maintain and staying pretty active in USTA. And a friend of mine who my son another friend of my son's mother had said, you know, LaFortune Park's really needing some TLC, and they're looking for somebody to take over. I didn't really think I was qualified, and she just kind of talked me into, you know, I was running good programs in Sand Springs just on a really, really small scale. I loved kids. I loved working with people. And I was coaching high school tennis and had started a middle school program there in Sand Springs. And I said, well, I guess I could use a break in my teaching career. And said, and I talked to David about it. He's, you know, as I said, a very avid tennis player, and we did all our playing together and very supportive of one another. And we said we'd give it a try. So in 2003 is when I accepted the job there at LaFortune and became the director of tennis, and started just building programs like I had done in Sand Springs, did lots of kid stuff. That's kind of my specialty, is working with younger kids. I taught elementary school, and then just started doing some adult beginner type programs, some leagues like they'd had previous there at LaFortune. They were always really well known for their leagues. There's just that time period where they kind of had let things run down a bit, so I just started building up the programs, and things were happening. People got excited and enjoyed what we were doing, but we just decided at that point we needed a little facelift to the area. It needed some new courts, needed to be totally repaired. The building was very dated and just needed, like I said, that tender love and care. So that's where we started in on a mission to we called it Operation Facelift, and we were gonna fix up the place. And during that whole time we were talking about it, things just started growing. Things, all the junior kids, the numbers were just getting higher and higher. The adult programs kept growing, and we kept getting more people to play leagues. So we couldn't just settle with the facelift of the 12 existing courts. We knew we needed more courts. So would you like me to keep going on
yes,
that?
Yes, I'm going to ask you one question.
Okay.
As you're saying we, who are the we?
Well, okay, that's a great question. I had a great support with the Tulsa County Parks. Richard Bales is the parks director there. He was very supportive from the get-go. I am a contract employee there for the Tulsa County Parks, but he was my direct who I reported to, and he got on board right away. Noticed that things were happening. So I had Mr. Frank Ward, who's known in Tulsa as Tulsa Tennis, Mr. Tulsa Tennis, he recognized right away. He had been running tournaments there all these years. So at first he kept running his tournaments. We were just letting him use the facility. We'd help him, and eventually we got to take that over from him. But those kind of people recognized our success and were willing. Another key person in the whole mix of things was the commissioner, Fred Perry. When he was elected as the commissioner, he's also an avid tennis player. We said, hey, enough with the golf. The golf's had enough renovations, and it looks pretty good over there. Let's get some things done with tennis. And he was excited and wanted to see that happen. Fortune Park, as everyone knows, is just a great place in our city for, you know, multiple things. The golf courses are amazing. We have a new library and community center there, the amazing running track. Baseball has been played there. We have a basketball court there in the middle. The parks are full all the time. So we needed to make that tennis center match everything else that was going on there. So all those people were super instrumental. I had lots of tennis players. I mean, I couldn't even mention all the names that got together with me and said, hey, we're behind you, let's get this done. And so it took loads of volunteers that said, you know, we believe in what you're doing, we know it can continue, and let's get this done for Tulsa.
When did your husband David join you at La Fortune?
Well, let's see, I came in 2003, and then it was 6 years later before he was able to leave his job, his full-time accounting job, and he retired and came and joined me full-time. The beginning, actually the very first year I was there, I was finishing up my teaching year, so I had kind of two jobs, trying to get it all done. And then my son, who was 16 at the time, the three of us were working together to get this done. So they helped me teach until I could get people in there to help me with the teaching part. And so they've been behind me from day one.
David
couldn't
and
do
Peter.
It, couldn't do it without the two of them. Especially David, because he was coming in and he was working this job after his other job for those 6 years. So it was a lot.
So you both had some double up because you had a semester or so.
He had more, but it was good.
I remember playing in the 80s when we used to have to wait for a public court.
Yeah.
And then by the time you were here, it wasn't. The program wasn't going like that.
Correct, yeah. It just things had it died down for whatever reason. Long time pro that started there in 1970 was Charlie Cunningham, and he'd been super successful with what he had done there, built leagues up and done some, you know, amazing things. And then it was as he got older and retired, it was that time frame, I believe, 1993, I think that... He was finished, and so that time between 1993 and 2003, there just wasn't anybody manning the place and taking care of it like it needed to be, and just having that passion that needed to be put into the park.
Okay, talk a little bit about, you know, when I think of La Fortune Park now, I think of two words: revitalization and expansion.
Yeah.
And that pretty much underwrites what I see happening. Why don't you go through the steps that happened to improve this program?
Okay. Are you talking specifically about the tennis, or would you like to
talk
about...
As you wish.
Okay.
As you wish.
So, as I said, the La Fortune Park is just an amazing place. I can't remember all the dates of everything that happened specifically to everything, but when the La Fortunes helped with the initial donations to put some parks in and develop the land. I believe, and we would have to go back to some people that have been there much longer, that the original spot where the tennis center was a poor farm, and they had an actual farm there. People raised food, and they could come there and get some of their food. So when the La Fortunes came in, and I believe that was 1958 or
1960 is what this article
says. Yeah,
somewhere
in there started getting the park ready, and then the golf course was put in. The parks were in there for the children, so all of those things happened. Then 1970, I believe, is when they put the tennis courts in. Mm-hmm. There were six courts at that time. And
that was Charlie Cunningham.
And then again in 1972, they put in six more courts. So Charlie was still there. I remember the cost of that was $10,000 to put those six more courts in. And then in 1980, LaFortune was really booming then. Charlie had done a good job. LaFortune was the first public facility in Tulsa to offer the USTA leagues, and that's when USTA leagues, those of you guys that are familiar with that, began, and that helped. While Charlie was at the end, he received the facility, Outstanding USTA Facility of the Year, which is a huge honor. TCT, our local tennis league, was started in 92, and then I came, as I said, in 2003. So a couple of years had gone by. We started talking about the improvements. So our first phase was called Operation Facelift. It was all public money. We acquired the money from I believe it was a Vision or a Fortifix. I think it was a Fortifix. Some money that was designated for another park, and that park was in a floodplain, and so they were not able to build a community center on that park. So the money came to the tennis center, which was $1.2 million. So in that $1.2 million, 2005, we were able to add nine courts, and those are the courts to the west, which, if you're familiar with the park, is courts 13 through 21. So we got that done, and then we realized we still have to fix up this existing place because those courts were in bad need of repair. So in 2007, or up until then, we started our second phase, and that second phase consisted of actually tearing up the existing courts, or at least nine of the 12, tearing them up and rebuilding them, post-tension concrete, state of the art. We didn't spare any expenses. We put the larger courts in. We put the Musco lighting, which is 50-year lighting, superb lighting, little fences in between for players to have more room, shade for other players, which has been one of our best investments. The folks love the shade in the summer. And that's something you have to plan at the beginning. If you don't, you're in trouble. So that money also was, I believe it was a $1.2 million project. $800,000 of it was public money, and $650,000 was private money, private donations. So that takes us up to at the end of 2007, when we had our nine new courts, and then we had nine that we had just repaired, and we improved our plaza area. As you walk into the facility, looked nice, but we were still with our little bitty cinder block building that was not very attractive, not very big, but it served its purpose for so many years. So we began phase three to get a clubhouse, and at that point we had grown so much that it was really tough that we'd have to close in the winter. We'd have our programs starting in March, get all our kids, all our adults going, and all of a sudden we'd have to close the door when the weather got, bad come December or so. So we were ready for some indoor courts, and we were a little hesitant, not sure that could be done. But thankfully, Mr. Michael Case here in Tulsa came through, and he said, "Hey, I'll put up $1 million if you can match it." The project ended up being a $2.6 million project, so it consisted of the three indoor courts, a clubhouse, and then we had to fix the last three courts. Again, we tore those last three courts up of the existing 12, totally put in the post-tension concrete courts with the shade, the nice lighting and everything. That project ended up being $2.6 million, which Mr. Case had already given $1 million challenge, so we matched his $1 million. And came up with $600,000, and all of that project, 100% of it was private money, all 100% donations. So it took us a good while to do that, a good 6 years before we moved in there. We moved in, actually it'd be total years, probably seven, because we moved in that September 2015. And immediately after opening up the doors, we realized this still isn't enough. We're going to need a few more courts and more indoors. People were people were knocking on our doors and wanting more. The unfortunate thing, we had a club down the street, Shawnee Mountain Racquet Club, that had been in our town for a very long time, since also the early 70s, that closed its doors. So that was at 61st and Memorial. And so a lot of those people needed to find a new home. And fortunately, a lot of the clubs around town were able to absorb many of those players. But we got a significant amount that were ready to come over to La Fortune and play on our court. So we were all ready, even after opening the door immediately, we were ready for more space. And so that's where we currently are. We're looking at building three more indoors, three more outdoor courts, and we estimate that to be $3.2 million, and it'll be 100% public money. We're about $800,000 right now, so we have a ways to go, but we're up for the challenge of that. But I would like to kind of back up and say how we got those numbers up. Again, we focus on children. You know, that was an easy thing for me to do, being an elementary teacher. We had affordable classes. It was important to me that we're not going to go out and charge too much. I had qualified pros. All of us are certified from the United States Professional Tennis Association, so we all have had our training. We all were good tennis players and good teachers ourselves, so there's 9 teaching pros at La Fortune, but we built those programs. We have a nice program that we serve, the Youth at Heart program, which serves our underserved kids. So they come to us twice a week, and we have about 20 kids in that program, and get to volunteer and spend time with those, teaching them tennis and life lessons that happen. We have a special needs academy that we've started here in the last couple of years, and it was important for those kids. They're just different kids that have some special needs in their lives and needed some extra exercise, and so it's been super successful. Julie Harrelson directs that for me. We have about 30 kids that come to that about 4 times a year in for a 3-week period. There's kids with Down syndrome and kids in wheelchairs, so we really have a great time with that in that program as well. We've started a Hispanic camp that we do in the summer, so we have one coach that is Hispanic and has reached out to that community, so we've loved that. We have a lot of programs with different schools around town that they come to. We develop camps for them, or we let them into our camps. All the Tulsa Public Schools use our courts. Their school programs use our courts, and with no charge. So anytime that a school is with the Tulsa Public Schools, they do not pay, which has been great for them, because they just don't have those resources. So the private schools, that several rent our facility, Bishop Kelly, Regent Preparatory School, one more I can't think of.
Metro.
They sometimes do. I cannot remember who it is, but they do pay to use the facility. Everything, like I said, is it's not terribly outrageous. So it's affordable for all. Our adults, our leagues are very successful. We have the lowest level of tennis is 2-5, on a scale of 2.5 to 7, our lowest levels at 2.5. Just La Fortune alone had 11 2-5 teams, which is, you know, 15 to 16 people on each team. So we kind of are blowing the socks. So we're just starting a lot of new people as well as maintaining them too. Loretta, you played a lot of years, right?
Yes. It's a and I don't get any better.
But it is a lifetime sport, wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So that's our goal, is to get people playing and because we know that once they start, they're going to keep doing it for a long, long time.
I didn't know they were rated as high as 7. I have a long
way
to go.
Well, that would be the ones we see on TV. So that's the USTA system. We don't really have those 7-0s too close around here.
Well, I know you have a lot of tournaments going for the kids through the summertime, too.
Yeah, we hope that's a good for the Tulsa community, because with that many courts, we've been able to host numerous tournaments and bring people in from the Missouri Valley, and we bring them in. They stay in our hotels. They shop at our shopping and eat our food here in Tulsa. So we're working currently on the economic impact we've had on Tulsa. We know for sure that it's been significant. I don't have the exact number for you because we're right in the middle of getting that research done, but it has been significant. And plus just the fact that our tennis players here in Tulsa get to sleep in their own beds and not spending that kind of money every time, because it can be, everybody knows all these sports nowadays are can be costly when you're traveling to tournaments and you're having to stay in hotels. And so anything we can do to help our parents is good.
And you host the TCT tournaments and the USTA tournaments
as
well?
Yes, yes. We host any kind of USTA, which is United States Tennis Association tournaments, and then the TCT, which is the Tulsa Tennis Competitors of Tulsa. They have a league that plays out La Fortune and all over town, actually, but we host a number of those people as well. The adult tournaments has changed over the years. They're more successful. We have one-day events, and they don't like to play a whole weekend anymore, so they'll just come out, and we had one last weekend. We were benefiting Soldier's Wish, and been very successful at those kind of things. We host probably 15 a year that are different between kids and adults. Have a good time doing.
Do you think you're building the young adult participation?
No, that's a good question. So that's been one of the things that the tennis community has been not as strong at as getting that millennial generation going at tennis. And a lot of kids are playing as juniors and not returning. So we just recently will have our first millennial night on April 7th. So we're having a big push that age group 39 and below will be there, and we'll have a big night of play. They'll do cardio tennis, play matches. We're going to have lots of music, lots of prizes, food, all the stuff that they'll enjoy. Because the kids that do come back to start playing, they're playing with the older people. We think the average number I read is 48 playing tennis in the USTA leagues. So that's a little bit high, so we need that number to be lower. So we definitely have just started a big push to get that younger generation either back into the game or started playing the game, because again, we believe it's a lifetime sport, and those of us that play it are absolutely love it and want to keep playing till we can't.
I sense a feeling of being a club when I'm over at La Fortune. You put flowers on the table and lotion in the restrooms and shampoo for the showers, and then you have social events. There's a ladies' thing coming up. But name off some of the social, and some of those have been fundraisers, I think, for you.
Correct. The majority that we do have been fundraiser type things, but we do, coming up, it's strictly for fun. We're just getting our ladies that are in different kind of groups that play at different times of the week, trying to get them all together at one time. We do our best to make it feel like it is a club, like this is some place that they belong and that they show ownership for, and we feel like when we have that feel that people do take care of it a little bit better and respect it like it's their home. So we try our best. I tell my employees that every person that walks in the door is important, and you don't know what they've been through before they walked in that door, so make sure they know that they feel important. So we want that, and I think some of that comes from just my background of being an elementary teacher, because that's the way we would make kids feel. And I think part of the reason why I've been pretty good at what I've done is I just picture those adults as little third graders, and they're important, and it's important that everybody knows that.
I'm glad you do that, because you open up earlier than you like to for the indoor courts for my group.
Yeah, we are busy just to get a good feel of for everybody to know how really busy we are on our indoor courts. And 7 days a week we open. About first play is 7:30. We have some of the days our pros are teaching at 4:30 a.m. actually, and then we go all the way to 10:30 p.m. and they would stay longer, but I have teenagers that work for me at night, and I have put my foot down that 10:30 is the latest that we're going to have the tennis center open, because I have good students that work for me, and it's important that they get ahead, go ahead and get home and get some good rest.
Okay, I watched you this morning as you're working with a group, and what occurred to me was, how many balls do you hit in a day when you're teaching? Do you record that on your Fitbit or anything?
You know,
do you have any idea?
I definitely take around 15,000, 20,000 steps just teaching. So I've not recorded the balls. I don't know if there's a way to do it, but millions that we feed a day, you know, altogether thousands in a day, I would say, but a lot of balls, our bodies, our arms take it, but we all enjoy it. It's we wouldn't want to be doing anything else, so it's worth all the wear and tear on our bodies.
Where do those old balls go?
The old balls are always reused. We don't get rid of any of them. When it's time, we usually put some kind of announcement on. If people are always asking us, teachers want them bad. They want to get them on their chairs at school and the animal places, the dog rescues, those kind of things all want the balls, the nursing homes. So if you need any tennis balls, just give us a holler, because we have a lot of tennis balls. We do not throw them away. We make sure that they are used for a good purpose. They are starting to recycle tennis balls and make tennis courts out of them. So I have one organization that comes through a couple of times a year, and they recycle the balls and they go into making new tennis courts. So balls are a good thing to have around.
You recycle tennis shoes too, right?
We do. We have a basket in our place that people can put their shoes, and they go to the day center for the homeless. I have an organization that picks them up. Also clothes. I have I don't advertise this bigger. I have a lot, but people that know me that have been through the programs, they know that I will get good tennis clothes to kids that need them. So I just recently got several bags of boys' clothes from some different organization, or different individuals, I should say. And I gave them to Memorial High School down the road, and they were so very grateful. So we try to get to anybody that needs something like that, that we'll make sure gets in the right hands.
Are you talking about regular clothes or tennis clothes?
Tennis clothes specific,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about some of the famous guests you've had at La Fortune?
Yeah, we've had some good guests. We've had Mats Wienlander. He came and did one of our fundraisers. We had a weekend of him teaching, and then he spoke at our one of our largest fundraisers. We do have what we call a tennis gala each year, a tennis ball. So he was, I believe, at our second one that we had. But most recently this year, to kick off this phase four, we had the Bryan brothers, which are the most famous doubles team of all times. They have the most wins. That was a fabulous weekend we had in September. They came and did clinics all day with adults. The adults paid to do drills with them, and then they came and they have a band. So their band played for that night, and we danced the night away after our fundraising part had finished, and had a great time with those guys. They were fabulous to have.
Now, do you mean the band came with the Bryan brothers?
The Bryan brothers are the band.
Oh,
yes.
I missed that event.
So, yeah.
I heard it was fun.
Yeah,
I didn't realize that.
So they
that.
Actually play in the band. They have. I'm sorry I couldn't tell you the names of the other people in it, but they travel around and do these kind of events for them several times a year. They limit it to what they do, but and I don't know if you're a tennis supporter, you know this year they're almost 40 years old. They're 39, and they're still winning big stuff. So it's pretty amazing.
They do that gratis as a fundraiser for you, don't they?
No, they do not.
Okay.
That is one of the things that we do. We do pay for those kind of things.
Okay.
We get sponsors that again. I think it's important that people know that what we've done at La Fortune has been, except for the county got us going, but we're very self-sufficient. None of the money comes from taxpayer money. What we have built here has been super financially good for Tulsa County Park, so it's been a good fit.
Okay, Melissa, you mentioned that when you teach children, you teach them, along with how to play tennis, you teach them life lessons.
Yeah, that's one of the benefits of tennis. We feel like that kids can learn a lot, or adults as well, but specifically as we as we deal with kids, that they can learn lots of good life lessons as far as manners, etiquette. It's a quiet sport. It's a very, what you call a gentleman sport. You call your own lines. You have to be fair. You have to be honest. You dress appropriately. There's manners about entering a tennis court, being quiet on a tennis court. Most tennis matches are relatively quiet unless you go to a college match. There's different rules for college matches, but it's fun because we get to teach kids about those kind of lessons. So those, we feel like, besides just the physical part of it, we feel like tennis has those meaningful type situations that we can teach kids as they come and go from a fortune.
Something just crossed my mind, because I'm picturing the children outside in their summer lessons, is you provide water out there for us. I mean, we bring our own, but there's always knowing that there's water out there. That's just another thing of more like a club to me.
Well, we hope that continues. We struggle with that, with making sure that we follow all the rules that the health department and everything follows, but we want to keep doing those things as long as possible. One of the best things we did, as Loretta, you probably know, in the tennis centers, we put a self-serve ice machine. And so now people can come in and fill up their jugs with ice and on their own, and that's probably never been provided. You probably, most of the time at any public facility, have to stop at the Quick Trip or a place, or get your ice and water before you come. But people really enjoy that little amenity that we provided for them.
I just learned about it last week. Is it brand new?
No,
I just didn't know.
It was one of the things that we put into the building when it came in. So before, we filled up many more water jugs for you guys, and now we have a little bit less. We don't have to keep them quite as full, because you do bring your own water and just fill up a little bit. So
it's nice for injuries too.
It's great for injuries. The ice is great for injuries.
Okay. I think you had some thank yous you wanted to give to some people that helped you along the way.
I wanted to make sure I again, thanked Richard Bales and the Tulsa County Parks and Fred Perry, because they have been so instrumental along the way. One of the employees that also works at the Parks Department, Frances Dodson, she's been amazing. But they just been supportive 100% and believed in us and just pushed it through and knew that we were going to do the right things and put it into our hands. A lot of the things that we were doing, and helped us with that fundraising, and just that belief that that we're doing a good thing, and we know we are. So I wanted to be sure to thank all the Tulsa County that's had a big part of that. The Hale Family Foundation, they have been super big supporters. We have a lot of donors that have been, their names are all over the place. I hope people can come out and take a little tour. And I hope I'm there, because I would love to give you a little tour. But lots of names on the courts that have been great donors to us. The Hale Family Foundation specifically, though, they've joined in here at the end and put up a pledge of $500,000. That money can be matched so that we can get to our goal to finish out the next phase 4. Again, a big thanks to my husband, because I couldn't do it without him. We joke because he's kind of the jack of all trades. He does a lot of the maintenance. He keeps if you've ever come out and seen our beautiful yard, our lawn that's right there in the plaza, he does all that. He inscripts with his lawnmower the LTC emblem into the grass, and it always looks beautiful. And when we first came and just had the little old building, he spruced it up with paint, and that made a world of difference. That made people feel like, okay, it's clean, it's a nice place to be, and things have just developed over the time. And then lastly, just my staff. I've had an amazing staff during the time that I've been there since 2003, and some have stuck with me and some have had to move on. But right now, I have top-notch people. I have 9 teaching pros. Tim Leos, the head pro, joined me. He was my son's coach for years and years, and he's been a great help. So I just want to really, I can't say all their names because we have a relatively big staff, but they're all amazing people. They're all in it to serve the community, and it's a good thing. The park has benefited both us. We can all of us can make a living at it. The county's benefited because we bring income to them. Again, the place is self-sufficient, and it's able to keep up with the demands, the financial part that they bring in. We're able to keep the place looking nice and continue it. As we finish the phase four, I do want to say that we do have plans to, after this will be our last phase for a long, long time because we're out of space. So that's as much as we can do for now, but we do plan on setting up endowments. That'll be our next, if we call it phase five, because we want it to be there forever. We don't want it to be a time where somebody has to come in and rebuild it and fix it up. We're going to maintain it as we go. In fact, we've already had, just in the short period of time since 2005, we've already repainted, 18 of the courts. We've already had them repainted, looking nice. So we plan on keeping that up every 5 years. And that's just a goal of mine for when at one point when I leave, that it'll be there for a long time for people to enjoy for many, many years to come.
So after you teach all day, then you go home at night and you do all this planning.
Well, I've doing a little better, Loretta. I've limited my teaching a little bit. I do love to teach. I probably should get off the court a little bit, but I'm a teacher at heart, so I love to teach. So I do spend about half my days now doing that, and then I spend the other half or a little bit more planning and try not to do as much at home as I used to because now I have a real office, so I don't have to take quite as much home. I can enjoy, but we do spend a lot of hours, but fortunately we both still love it, and we'll do it as long as we're meant to be there.
Well, it's a fun place to be. It's a nice place to be. And thank you for what you've contributed to Tulsa.
Thank you very much. I would like to end with, if you are interested in helping us out at the Tennis Center at this last phase of our campaign with our new indoor courts and three more outdoor, feel free to contact me at La Fortune Tennis Center, and I'll be glad to help you out and how to get a donation to the right place. We are a 501c3, so... we're happy to take any donations.
This is Melissa McCorkle with the La Fortune Tennis Center.
Correct.
Did I get the right title
on
that?
We actually call it La Fortune Park Tennis Center because we always like to include our amazing park. I should probably say that because that whole La Fortune Park, the county has done an amazing job of those wonderful golf courses, parks, and baseball fields, community center, library, and the trail. That is amazing.
And you're right next door to the library and the community center.
Right in the center of town.
On the back side of the golf course,
yeah.
All together.
Yep.
Okay. Well, thank you, Melissa, for coming today.
Thank you very much.